From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. From elementary school on, Americans learn that American Indians introduce the foods that have now become staples of the Thanksgiving celebration. What is less recognized is the Native Americans' broader impact on culinary tastes in America and beyond. A new cookbook, Foods of the Americas, explores the recipes and traditions of Indian culture in North, Central, and South America. Fernando and Marlene Davina spent years researching and testing the recipes for the book, which is published in association with the Smithsonian National Museum of the American Indian. Each recipe, from emu-style salmon to wild plum ketchup to toasted filbert cakes, also includes a dollop of history. After their exhaustive research, the Davinas can well imagine what might have appeared on that first Thanksgiving table.
Well, definitely the wild roast turkey. The cranberries, they would have had cranberries. Corn, they may not have made it into dressing and put it in the turkey, but they probably would have had ears of corn, maybe thrown on the fire.
If we could, let's start with the turkey there.
Okay. Turkey is one of those wonderful things about indigenous foods of the Americas, is that the less you do to it, the better it is. So flavoring it with a little bit of sage and salt and pepper and roasting it is going to give you great results.
That's right. Fernando's never let me stuff the turkey.
And side dishes. I mean, what other kinds of dishes would we have seen at a traditional, or would we still see today at a traditional harvest celebration?
Well, at that time, you would have seen lobster, what they would have called a New England boil. They probably would have extracted that entire, you know, clams and lobster and corn and potatoes and all those things. Bean dishes, the popular Boston baked beans is a traditional northeastern woodlands dish.
Definitely cranberries.
Cranberries, some kind of cattail cake.
Tell me about that cattail cake.
Well, first you have to forage for the cattail flower. And cattails are found everywhere. You can see them all over the world, I would imagine. I've seen them all over the United States and Central and South America. But you go into a stand of cattails with a container, and, well, it has to be at the right time of year. They have to be ready to be, have the flower come off the cattail, summer, early fall. And you gently knock the cattail into your container, and off comes the flower.
The pollen.
It's pollen. And it's this beautiful, bright yellow, very, very fine pollen. And you gather that, which takes a while.
Well, I was going to ask, it calls for a cup and a half of this for the cattail crackers.
Well,
So I was wondering how long it would take you to shake out that much flour.
It didn't take that long. Plus, it's fun. The cattails where we were taller than us. And so even though our son is 6'4", and, you know, we were surrounded by each other, you can't see anyone, and you can just hear each other, you know, kind of giggling as you're going along, because it's such a fun process. But, you know, we're foragers. We're from the Pacific Northwest, so, you know, we like doing that sort of thing.
Cattail flour is available, actually. We list a source for cattail flour from a fellow in the back of our book, as we do with other sources.
Well, many people right now have already prepared their Thanksgiving supper, but for those who are adventurous and want to look ahead to next year and want to think about what they might want to serve next year at the family gathering, what other kinds of foraging might you suggest if they wanted to go out and not just look for cattails, but find mushrooms other kinds of things?
They could come and we could take them out foraging for wapato. Wapato is really fun. Foraging for wapato is done in the fall in water, and we did it like the original people, and we did it by feeling with our toes for the bulbs, and you know where the plant is because it was also called arrowhead, and so the leaf that's out of the water is shaped like an arrowhead, and you dig this and it would pop up and you'd break it off, and you know you'd only do so many so you wouldn't, you know, kill the whole bed. And then you roast them, and it has kind of a nutty potato taste to it. And it was an original food of North America before the potato came up here. I found the first signs of it in written form under the Lewis and Clark expedition. And they write about the people on Wapato Island and how there were the Multnomah people. And that was one of the foods that they mentioned that they fed them and also traded for them.
these are some of the fun things that we really thought were important to include, some of the foraged foods. But I think the cookbooks focus almost beyond majority. There's probably 75% of the recipes that we have within the book are using common foods, tomatoes, potatoes, sweet potatoes.
Chocolate,
vanilla, all of the things that are quite commonly found. And we're just trying to contextualize them and sort of celebrate that they are indeed American.
Well, any good meal should end with a delicious dessert. And there was one particular that really caught our attention. It was the maple syrup pie.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Maple syrup pie is, if you like maple syrup, it's lovely. It's a maple custard.
It's a little bit sweeter than pumpkin pie, but lighter.
One of our producers spent last night up in his own kitchen baking the maple syrup pie. So I actually have a sample of this in the studio with me right
now.
How
fun.
And so as we talk about this, if you don't mind, I'm going to sample a little bit. This is a dish you say that is common to the people of Central Canada, to the tribes
right.
of Central Canada.
Right. All around the Great Lakes in Central and Northeast, wherever there's mapling and other extractions going on, this pie has been around for a long time. It took its form in a custard form shortly after contact with the French explorers that settled in that area eventually. And the flavor, we like to serve that with a little bit of lightly poached pear that's in a very mild syrup because it's sweet, but it on its own it's lovely. And then also if you top it with toasted nuts of virtually any kind, it's just a terrific pie. It's rich.
You notice that I've dropped out of the conversation. I'm grooving on this pie. It's really good.
We are going to have maple syrup pie.
You'll be having this
pie.
You'll be having this tonight also.
Yes, and pumpkin pie. And pecan pie.
I'm sorry if I'm talking with food in my mouth because I need to put this pie down so I can continue our conversation.
That's okay. We're used to that.
Really, it is delicious.
We're usually always eating.
Well, Fernando and Marlene, Davina, thanks so much for coming in to talk to us.
Oh, thank you.
Michelle, a pleasure.
Marlene and Fernando Davina, they're the authors of Foods of the Americas.